When one of our children was in preschool, they got invited to a birthday party at a pizza place. And the child hadn't hardly taken a bite before it pronounced, "My mom makes way better pizza than this." Well, if you ask all of our children now, that answer would look very different. "I can't compete anymore." When you ask some of the little children that were up here this morning for children's story what their father or mother are like, you will get very different answers than if you ask our teenagers, our youth, or our young adults, or some of the adults, what their parents are like. Our images change, our impressions change as we change, as we grow older. And there's not a correct image or a correct description of our parents. They all form just a different picture about the same person. And so also our image of God changes as we change. What images come to your mind as you think about who God is for you? When you were a child, when you were a teenager, now? You probably have one or two images that are more dominant than some of the others. What do you call God in your prayers when you pray to God? A.W. Tozer, an evangelical mystic in the first half of the 20th century, says, "The most significant fact about any person is not what they say or do, but what they conceive in their heart or soul God to be, what their image of God is. Because by some secret law of the soul, we move toward our image of God." I've listed a couple of these images in the bulletin you can take home with you and think about more. When you look at who God is or what images you use, they probably fall either in the categories of God, the powerful, the ruler, the holy one, or God, the more compassionate, companion, friend, father, caregiver. And so these images shape us as who we are as believers. But no, not one of these images can exhaust the mystery of God, because all his God is more than we can ever imagine. But these images help us to know more about God, who God is, what God means to us, what he teaches us within our everyday situations in life, as we get drawn towards God, as we are involved in different things. This week I went to a Habitat for Humanity meeting for youth pastors, talking about and brainstorming about creative ways that youth can be involved here in Charlottesville. And Kim Wells, one of the pastors as First Presbyterian, opened the meeting with a prayer, "Gracious God, you have been our shelter for many generations," and drawing on the image of shelter as we were meeting as part of Habitat for Humanity, who is building shelters. What happens to our images of God when something happens in life that kind of destroys that image? If we think of God as our shelter and a fire destroys our house and everything we have, or if we think of God as protector and we are robbed and beaten. If we only have that one image, we are left with pretty much nothing. But if we have a variety of images about God, and God is bigger than that one image, we find new hope, and we can come out of that situation. This morning I was teaching the Midler Sunday School class, and our subject was Job, and how Job had lost everything and still was worshiping God. It's kind of like, you know, a pair of shoes. Sometimes we outgrow a pair of shoes, and so we could either keep wearing those shoes and complain about how they don't fit and stumble around, limp around, or we can quit wearing shoes altogether, or we can buy new shoes that fit who we are and how we walk. And so our images change and mature through our life. Let us look at some of the images in the Bible that we find in the Bible. And we've heard numerous ones already in the songs this morning. And I'm following a little bit along the categories that George Brunk III, the current interim president at Associate Mennonite Biblical Seminaries, came up with. God the Holy One, set apart, God among us, and God with us. Though I'm also adding within us as we think about the Holy Spirit. When we think about the God in the Old Testament, we might think of more of a stern God, who is more set apart. You know, we have God the Holy One, the Creator, the Maker, the Ruler, the King, the Judge, the Warrior, the Other, the One with a Mighty Hand. There is a distance between us, the creation, and the Creator, the Ruler. And yet God calls us to be holy, for I am holy. Because, as Ian read, we have been created in His image. So we have the God in the Old Testament who turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt for looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah. We have the God who told Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac and then stopping him at the nick of time. We see Abraham in a deep and terrifying darkness as God is making a new covenant with him. We also have God the Holy One sitting on a throne as Isaiah envisions, or as we meet again in Revelation with John's visions of God on the throne. But we also have the God who walked in the Garden of Eden during the cool of the evening. The God who has more tenderness towards Israel than a mother has for the child of her womb. What about the merciful God whom the prophet Jonah criticized after the people of Nineveh converted, much to Jonah's surprise and disgust? What about the God who wants to share the divine wisdom with every man, woman, and child, willing to prize that wisdom more than silver and gold? We have the God who is called the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who shows that He wants to be among us, in relationship with us, in fellowship with us, who visits Abraham, whom we can see face to face, the God who dwells among us, who shepherds them, who restores their soul, who leads them, who prepares a table in their presence. We dwell in the house of the Lord, who redeems us, who sustains us, who provides for us, and who blesses us. These two images create a tension or create a balance of who God is, the God set apart and the God among us. In the Old Testament, God dwells in the pillar of a cloud and a fire. In the burning bush, Moses meets him. God dwells in the tent of meeting, first outside the camp, and then later in the tabernacle in the middle of the camp, a constant visible reminder and awareness of God's presence with his people. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to his friend. When we look at Psalm 95 that Raphael read, it shows in beautiful movements some of these images. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, the steadfast, stable God. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand, his powerful, mighty hand, are the depths of the earth. The height of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, moving towards the Creator, creating. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. God is among us, the shepherd, caring, providing, sustaining. Which leads us to what the psalm started with, worshiping God with awe. Because God is great, unchanging, a solid presence and creative power, which calls us to awe and wonder, a sense of mystery of the power that pulls us into worship and adoration and thanksgiving. And we are formed and shaped to respond out of our worship, calling us to love, calling us to mercy, to justice, to faithfulness and peace. Being formed and sustained, we are called to follow in the image of God. In the New Testament, we often think of God more of the loving, caring God, the God who came to be with us, who took being among us a step further and became flesh in Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel, the God with us. Jesus is the fulfillment of God among his people, taking on our human condition and linking the human and divine at a new level. We can see the face of God in Jesus Christ. We come to share in Jesus' own intimate relationship with God as sons and daughters of God. We meet the God of Mary Magdalene, of Martha, of the Samaritan woman. We meet the Jesus, the God in Jesus who says, I am the bread of life. I am the light, the gate, the shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life. I am the true vine, nurturing us, protecting us like a mother hen, giving birth to new life. We encounter God in the Holy Spirit, often as non-human images like the dove, the fire, the water, the wind, hovering, creating throughout history. The spirit that is more elusive, mysterious, creating beauty and grace. The challenge is not to create a golden calf or the God of the Pharisees, who could be kept on a leash, who was predictable, fit into a box. Like Voltaire said, God made us in his own image, and we have returned the compliment. We have created God in our image. Kathleen Norris writes, "One so often hears people say, 'I just can't handle it,' when they reject a biblical image of God as Father, Mother, Lord, or Judge, God as Lover, or God on a cross. If we seek a God we can handle, that will be exactly what we get, a God we can manipulate, suspiciously like ourselves, the wideness of whose mercy we've cut down to size." Instead, we're called to keep the God that is always more than we can imagine, to let us expand our images, our vision, and enter into the mystery of God, so that we may say yes to God like Mary, that we may be open to God's calling like Moses, that we can be steadfast like Job in our suffering, repenting like David when we fail. May we say like the woman at the well, "I have seen the Messiah." May we be like Paul, that Christ may increase in us. May we continue to grow in our knowledge of God and deeper in our faith as we are empowered to imagine a God who is always more than we can imagine, who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen.